It is good to be back in God's house again after an absence of a few weeks. Would you please turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? As I will read again the first few verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. The Apostle Paul states a great truth in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. As we consider the topic of resurrection, what thoughts come to your mind? What man is there who does not love life? But alas, all men must die. So we ask ourselves, what is life? Is death the end? Can the dead come to life again? And I say the only one who can give us the answer is our Lord Himself, the giver of life. And our Lord Jesus spoke some most wonderful words in John's Gospel, chapter 5. John 5:28, if you will turn there, we shall read. Hear the Lord gives us the answer. After life, there is death. After death, there is another life. Oh, dear friends, God speaks to us a vital message this morning, verse 28 of John chapter 5. Listen, the Lord Jesus says to us, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Verse 28, 29, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Here the Lord speaks to us. All must die, but all must come to life again on a certain day. The day appointed by the giver of life, our Lord Jesus, when he shall call all those in the graves. You say, how come? We all rotted away. In the graves, dissolved. Nothing left. Oh, my friends, he who formed the first man and formed all of us out of the earth by his almighty power, when he calls, do you believe that? When he calls all that are dead, including those in the sea, those that are burned, vaporized, they all shall come back to life and form another body again. Now, there are two resurrections spoken here in verse 29. There is the resurrection of life and the resurrection of death and damnation. You see, how come? Oh yes, this is what God tells us in this passage. You say, on a morning like this, why should we think of death? Why should young people think of death? Oh, death is very far away, is it? I was in Perth last week, and as I got to the church, I was told that one of our young men driving home that night, 3 a.m., rounding a corner, a bend in the road where there were no street lights, a group of young people walking, one of them walked into the path of the car and was killed on the spot. You say, well, that is bad luck. My friends, think, death is never far away, and therefore it is incumbent on us all to think. I speak to some friend here today, perhaps you have never solve the problem of the fear of death. Do you know what happens to you after you die? It is a sad thing to die. Think of this young person killed on the spot. And tomorrow is a funeral. And we have advised this young man who drove the car, go. Go to the family and see the family. Oh, he's very reluctant, very nervous. What shall I say to them? I've killed their daughter. But it is still part of the ministry. Perhaps go with Mr. Errol Stone and comfort the family. Someone has died. Oh, dear friends, think. Martha and Mary were grieved. The town is Bethany. Their only brother, Lazarus, had died. And Martha said, Lord Jesus, why didn't you come sooner? If you had been here, our brother would not have died. How we wish he could come to life again. Now you know the rest of the story. You know, the Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So Lazarus came forth at the command of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the place of Mary and Martha. Oh, what a blessed day, isn't it? The day that our brother came forth from the dead after 4 days, and now we have our brother back with us. What a joy, what an excitement, but what a sadness. Because Lazarus comes forth to live, only to die another day. That resurrection that is told to us in John's Gospel was a temporary resurrection. For a while, he lives again this life. Today, we are talking of another resurrection, dear friends, something different. This prospect of another life is a sure promise for all who are part of God's plan. Those of us here who have come this morning, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, are part of that plan of God. How do you know this plan? I say you can know this plan in God's Word. And God had revealed it early to one man, 1,500 years before he came to earth. Our Lord had revealed it to a man. And I want to tell you the story of Job, the well-known story. Please turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Here is a remarkable prophecy that God gave to Job. Who was Job? Very briefly, verse 1 of Job chapter 1. It is said here that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed or shunned or avoided evil, a great man of the East, very wealthy, and living the gracious life, a man of great prestige, the greatest of all the men in the East. You say, that is the good life, right? We all aim for the good life, young people. Work hard, strive hard, one day to live the good life. Here is the man, Job, the greatest man of the East. You name it, he had it. Every possession he had, including 10 children, then in one day, all that he had was wiped away, one day. In another day, his health was taken away from him. So there we see Job, penniless, friendless. Even his wife deserted him, and the wife taunted him. You silly fellow. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus, and this is what happens to you. Curse God and die. And there he was in that ash heap. What do you think of this? I said, this is worse than death. When living is so miserable, when there is nothing to look forward to, during the days of the Reformation, thousands upon thousands were thrown into dungeons and prisons, and there the life was worse than hell. So that when death came, it was a relief. What is life, therefore? So here we see Job, sick, sorrowful, without friends, all of earthly delights taken from him. So surely he must ask, what is life? We ask ourselves too this morning, don't we? Is there meaning? Is there purpose? Is death the end? In his desperate condition, God spoke to Job. Please remember, in all this, Job sinned not. In all his suffering, he did not murmur. So often we complain and murmur for every little thing. But here is this perfect man. He only said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and one day I shall go the same way. I came with nothing. I'm going with nothing. What God has given to me in between is his good pleasure. I receive, thank God. God takes away, thank God. Whatever happens, thank God. Because God does all things well. God is never unfair, never unjust. Can you accept that? So Job, in his miserable state, said, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us all say this whenever we meet with anything good, not so good, bad. We say, the Lord is good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in his misery, God spoke to him so that he gave three very wonderful prophecies of things to come for those who are in Christ. If you can qualify for this description, a perfect, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. This is the description of a Christian man, one who has put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are such a person, then you will appreciate what Job is talking about. Three great statements. Job chapter 13. Three great statements that pertain to the life to come, that tell us death is but a portal. Death is but a doorway. that we all have to go through one day, sooner or later. No man can escape. In his desperate condition, God spoke to him and God revealed to him what a wonderful, merciful, loving Father in heaven. And if you have such a God as your Father, then whatever He does to you, you will accept. You will not complain. So Job said in 13, verse 15. Now this is a fantastic statement. A very difficult statement. Can you say it? Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he kill me, I can put it in another way. Though he take away this life that he allows me to enjoy today, yet will I trust in him. How come? Job realized, and I pray that we all realize, this life comes from God. And He puts us here for a purpose. And when it comes time for Him to take us away, He has a better plan for us. I had a friend whose son of 2 years in Brunei swallowed a piece of meat and he went down the wrong way, and in 10 minutes, the boy of 2 years was dead. What a blow. What a sadness. So, many will ask, Lord, why this innocent child, why should he die? This friend wrote to me a letter. And he says, I see the hand of God. That this child is entrusted to us. Lent to us was the word he used. Now, what was lent to us doesn't belong to us. And the time has come that God wants him back in heaven. So we rest in the fact that we know the child is with God in heaven. Though he slay me, though he take away my child, yet will I trust in him. This is the lesson applied to our lives today. We receive good things. Shall we not also receive not so good things? Life is not always rosy. There are disappointments. There are setbacks. Under those circumstances, can you say, though God gives me unhappy things, not of my doing, not because of me, but things happen, accidents, sickness, yet will I trust in Him. Do you know this God is so wonderful? One who loved you so that He sent His only begotten Son. And he that spared not His Son, will He not with Him also freely give us all things? When you have come to that realization, you can see this verse. Verse 15. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Though he take away my goods, yet will I trust in him. Though he take away my health, yet will I trust in him. This is a great statement, the first statement of Job, as God reveals this wonderful truth to him. Then he progresses. The Lord reveals to him more truth in Job chapter 14. Another great statement, progression in the understanding of the afterlife. Job 14, verses 14 and 15. Now here Job asks a question. You ask this question, you read and see. If a man die, shall he live again? Ah, there are many fantastic stories of afterlife. And there are many theories, many doctrines, many religions telling of the afterlife. What do you know? Here is the teaching of God's word It says here, if a man die, shall he live again? Then Job himself gives the answer. For God has revealed to him, it says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Does this not echo, as it were, the words of John 5:28-29? Marvel not that I say to you, the day is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they shall come forth. Here Job says, ask the question that he says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait. Wait where? In the grave. Lying down, underground, I will wait. God has an appointed time. Oh, dear friends, we who have loved ones sleeping underground, they are in that situation all the days of the appointed time. They wait. God has appointed a time to be born, a time to die, a time to be buried, and then there we rot. But, a time when the dead will rise again. Dear friends, if you go home today with this one lesson, after death, there is something great coming for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. After death, there is far, far more than this life. This life is but an interlude. Yes, we enter the stage of life, we exit again, we go underground. All that we enjoy in this life is but a short interlude. What God has reserved for those who love Him beyond the grave, when He calls, while you wait, the day is coming when He will call. And then those who are in Christ will be brought into a greater existence. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love Him this morning? Oh, my friends, there is just one thing that divides us from the world. One thing. We in this church are in Christ, in His love. We know Him. We love Him because He loved us with such a great love, an everlasting love. So, if you go home today with this conviction, with this knowledge, I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Him as my Savior. The day is coming when He will call and I will answer. Verse 15, thou shalt call, I will answer. So you see, there is a progression in the development of the theme. The first thought that came to Job is, though God should take away my life, I will yet trust Him because I know He's got something wonderful for me. The second thought is, I will lie down and I will wait. And one day He will call me and I will answer Him. Isn't it great? We have a wonderful Savior who loves us so. Now, the third great thought and the climax of this thought of Job is in chapter 19. Not only will He call and I will answer, verse 25 says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, I will wait At the appointed time, he will call, I will answer. Now, how come? How come there is this prospect and promise for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 25 of chapter 19, God had revealed to Job, there is a Redeemer. You cannot do it yourself. You know, in America, there are those called cryogenic specialists. People who die and hope to rise again join this club and pay a certain sum of money, and the body is deep frozen to minus 180 degrees centigrade, deep frozen. The theory is one day they will defrost and the man will come to life. Oh, how sorry and how fantastic is this belief. Job saw what? A Redeemer. We all need the Redeemer. And this Redeemer lives. Where does it say so? Verse 25. How did he know? God revealed it to him. I say this morning again, thank God for our Redeemer who liveth. Who is the Redeemer? The one who came. The one who died for me. The one who was buried. And the third day he rose again. And he liveth forevermore. And it says here, he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. God enabled Job to see down the ages, down 1,500 and 2,000 years and 3,000 years through history, up to the time of the Lord's return to earth. He shall stand on the earth, my Redeemer. Not because he lives, something's going to happen to me. Because you trust in the Savior who conquered death, something good is coming to you. This is in the next verse. Verse 26. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Praise the Lord for this statement. We all will go under the underground when the time comes. Although I firmly believe there is a great prospect that we may not see death, right? We may not see death if the Lord should come, if 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58 should take place in our lifetime. You and I will not see death at all. Now, let's assume we have seen death and we lie in the ground waiting. Verse 26 says, after my skin, worms destroy this body. Oh, dear friends, that is a morbid thought, isn't it? Worms eating up my body, and yet it is the experience of life. On this side of eternity, every child of Adam will go through this corruption, this decay, this rotting away. So, Job saw it, he says, though worms destroy this body, yet after that there is a great prospect. In my flesh shall I see God. How did he know? You see, God has given him that wonderful prophetic vision. God has a plan. Do you fit into his plan today? God has a plan that all men, though they should die in Christ, they shall live again. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. As in Adam, you and I are in Adam, we must die. As in Adam, all die. But in Christ shall all be made alive. So this is verse 26 of Job 19. Though I have to die, I know I shall die. Yet there is the promise, in my flesh shall I see God. I want you to note the word flesh. Flesh means a body, and flesh and blood makes our body. The promise is that we shall receive another body. The resurrection is not of ghostly beings, spirits. No. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead and he rose with a glorified body. Do you know that? The first night of the resurrection, he appeared to the disciples in the closed room. And they got affrighted because they thought they had seen a ghost. Who are you? And the Lord says, peace, peace. Behold, nail prints, flesh and blood, feel me. The promise is all who trust in the Lord, the time will come when God gives you and me a new body. Praise the Lord. What kind of body? Like unto His glorious body. A body that will never again be subject to physical forces. That defies gravity, defies every infection, no more infection, no more sickness, no aging, no death. A new body says, beloved, now are we called the sons of God, says John. Yet it doth not appear what we shall be. You say, are you a son of God? Yes. How become a son of God? Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, He gives me power to become the sons of God. But it does not yet appear what we shall be, right? You look the same as anyone else in the street. All look the same. But we know this. We know this on the authority of the Word of God. When Christ shall appear, we shall be changed to be like Him. We shall be like Him. Like what? Like Jesus Christ risen from the dead with a glorified body. He will give it to us. It is not possible for us to describe. We only know vaguely, dimly today. We do not know completely. But God will give us a new body in the resurrection, which is above sickness, above aging, above death, and all the corruptions of this earth. That is the promise. So you see, Job gives us three great prophecies. The first, though he slay me, can you say that? Oh, don't complain. My God doesn't look after me so well. No, dear friends. Our God is a loving God. He loves you. He cares for you. So you can say, though He slay me, though He gives me unhappiness of various kinds, yet will I trust in Him. And the time will come when I lie in the earth for the appointed time, but He will call and I will answer. And when He calls, I will receive a new body. In my flesh, I shall see God. He is going to give you a resurrected body. Then I shall see Him. See whom? Oh, I say, friends, when we wake up on the resurrection morning, the first sight that it brings to you greatest joy unimaginable is my Redeemer. Oh, my Redeemer, the one who loved me and died for me. I will see for myself. Where does it say so? Verse 26. Job 19, verse 26. Though I should die and rot, yet God is going to give me a body, my flesh, in my flesh. Then I shall see God. What a great prospect, isn't it? Oh, my friends, do you have that assurance? This is all that matters today. All of us here, I ask you one question. Do you have that assurance? If you have, praise the Lord. Thank Him every day. Live for Him. Go and tell others there is a Savior who died, rose again, coming again to be the judge. But today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Go and tell. Why? Because my Redeemer lives and He will give you a new body. All the people who are outside Christ, they have no hope. They will rise, of course, when God calls, they will rise. And with bodies, they will go to the resurrection of damnation. My friends, ponder. We who have the life, we who have the message, go and tell, bring them to the church, bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this prophecy was revealed to Job 1,500 years before the Lord Jesus came on earth. This is a great prophecy. Now we want to turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. Again, as we conclude this morning's meditation, 1 Corinthians 15, 24. Then cometh the end. I'm sure, you know, when you read a story, many of us like to know the end of the story. You want to know what's happening at the end. Now, it says here at the end. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Who? Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he saw the disciples the last time, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And to him is delivered the kingdom, and he delivers up to the Father. Verse 24, the last part. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, we do not see this today. What do we not see? Jesus Christ today is despised. Jesus Christ today is rejected by the world. We do not see Jesus Christ having any power on earth. Not at all. Not this time. Not now. No. But the end is different. Please understand that all power is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Only the time is not yet. He is now exalted in heaven, preparing to come. Then cometh the end. Verse 24. This is what will happen when he comes. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power on earth. Right? For thine is the kingdom. That's what we prayed this morning. Thy kingdom come. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In that day, this prayer of ours will be answered, fulfilled. When? When the Lord Jesus returns, he will return in power and great glory to take control of all things, and all powers will be subdued under his mighty hand. For he must reign, verse 25, till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy is death. Now pay attention again to 24. There is a great kingdom. When the end comes, he shall deliver the kingdom to God, even the Father. Question. Do you belong to this kingdom? You say, what kingdom? It says it very plainly. God's kingdom. And are you a member of this kingdom? Will you inherit it? Will you be one of those received into the kingdom? You ask me, how can I go to the kingdom? Let me ask you. You want to go to the moon, right? It's possible nowadays. Can you go like this? Impossible. The moment you land on the moon, you'll be finished. Either you'll be frozen dead or burned up. One side of the moon is red hot, the other side is freezing cold. You want to go to the moon, you need a moon suit, a life suit. Put it on, you can go. You want to go to God's kingdom, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Verse 50. You want to go to God's kingdom, verse 50 of the same chapter says, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You want to go to God's kingdom, you must have a transformation. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You must have that change. And this is a change that Job saw. He says, I will lie in the earth. I will sleep. But when the time comes, my appointed time comes, you call, I will wake and I will receive a new body. Changed. Changed to be like Christ. Right? You all must have this change. in Christ. Christ died for our sins. Do you believe that? Then you must go on and say, I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I believe in my heart that He rose from the dead for me. This is very, very vital. Don't trust in a dead Savior. I read the other day that somewhere they discovered a tooth of Buddha, and they have encased this in a beautiful glass case so that all the Buddhists will come and worship this tooth, so that the Savior there will give them much blessing. My friends, we have a living Savior. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He will stand on the earth at the last day. This is the Savior we put our trust in. For He, by His almighty power, one day will change us. Verse 50 says, now I say, brethren, you cannot aspire to go into God's kingdom like this. You cannot, because this body is a corruptible body. You need the new, transformed, glorified body that only Jesus can give to you. Do you have that assurance? How can you have? Oh, my friends, you must receive from Him the new life. You must receive the new birth. So I say this, if you are born twice, you die once, right? You're born, all of us are born. But you must be born again. Those who are born twice will die once, because the second death has no power on you. But if you are born once, you die twice. Right? My friends, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We in this corruptible state must daily wait on the Lord for His cleansing, for His coming, that when He comes, we shall be changed. Now let's read on verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all remain in sleep. We shall not lie in the grave forever, but we shall be changed. Now, this is the thing that will happen. This is our focus of attention. This is the resurrection of the saints. Are you a saint? What is a saint, you say? A saint is one who is saved. Sanctified. That's the derivative of this word, saint. Sanctified, separated from the world, called out of the world into God's marvelous kingdom, and you receive this life of God in you, then you have a part in this great transformation. What will happen? Can you imagine? Verse 52. In a moment. How fast is the moment? It defines the moment. The twinkling of an eye. How fast do you twinkle your eye? Like this. That's twinkle. That is the speed with which God will change your body. Just like that. In the twinkling of an eye, He who first made man, He who has all power, the Creator will recreate your body. My body. A new body. And we shall be like Him. At the last trumpet. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Job saw it. Paul saw it. Do you see it? My friends, are you afraid of death? Once you know this is a prospect and the promise of God's word to everyone who believes. And who is the one that believes? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that He is your Savior, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be part of this great transformation to come. Please think carefully, dear friends. Don't enjoy this life and say, that is it. I say, that is not it. This life, no matter how good, no matter how fantastic, has its limit. And the end of this life outside in the world is death. Think, in Christ there is far more than this life. Far more than He has for you beyond this life. The resurrection of the saints that will entitle you to inherit the kingdom of God, nothing else. Not by meditation, not by self-improvement. No way, only one way. Trusting in the Lord. All right, now let's see. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Your body must be changed. Without that change, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So when this corruptible, verse 54, shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up because of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over death. Because you have put your trust in Him, because He lives, you will live. As in Adam, all die. In Christ, you will be made alive. The promise of God is to whosoever will. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come, therefore. Then we can all say, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Don't then be afraid of death. Anyone here? Don't be afraid of death. I told you the last time. My patient is so afraid of death. And she says, I'm a Christian. I say, how come you're a Christian and you're afraid of death? Every little thing she thinks is the sign of death coming soon. And she's already about 70 years old. Every day growing older, nearer the grave. Every day more nervous, more frightened. My friends, no. Verse 55 is for you. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I have a Savior who has conquered death, conquered the grave, and He has the victory. And He gives to me the victory because I am in Him, in Christ. In Adam, all die. In Christ, made alive. In Him, we have the victory. Verse 57. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the only living Savior, the one who Himself bore our sins on His body on the cross, and rose again for us. He has the power and He gives us the victory. Therefore, it makes this life a meaningful life. It makes our serving the Lord meaningful and full of joy of service. Dear friends, I ask you in closing, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? Are you playing a role in some part of God's kingdom today? What are you doing about it? If you have received that assurance of victory, and you can say, thanks be unto God who gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, then, verse 58, he says, go. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Don't get easily shaken. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Never you say, well, I've served the Lord so long ago already. I want to retire. Serving the Lord is till the end, till the very last breath. God calls you to a lifelong service. When Dr. John Sung challenged the people in 1938, exactly 60 years ago, that challenge was for lifelong consecration. And that challenge gripped my heart till this day, 60 years. And every year brings me 1 year nearer than the goal, which is when God will call me and He will change me, change you, you too. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. unmovable. Following the Lord is serving Him too. You follow Him. Don't feel weary and tired. For the Lord is good. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, may thy own Holy Spirit come and energize us. For we are so weak, and we are fearful oftentimes of things outside and things inside. Grant to us that wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit, and send us forth to be thy servants, to know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, because our Savior lives forevermore. I pray this in his blessed name. Amen.